Here at the Pennsylvania Game Commission, our passion is wild. Tune in to our podcast, Call of the Outdoors, as we discuss all things related to wildlife, hunting, habitat, and conservation across the Keystone State. Hear from men and women who have a passion for the outdoors and who value and work to preserve our state's wildlife resources for current and future generations.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Call of the Outdoors, the podcast of the Pennsylvania Game Commission. Real excited today to go back, you know, kind of revisiting the same thing we went through last podcast, and that's talking about game wardens. And today we have Mr. Joel Gibble, who is the assistant director of the training school. And on the phone with us today is brand new state game warden Travis O'Neill, who just currently graduated from the 32nd class here at the Ross Loeffler School of Conservation. Spring's almost here. I mean, it's coming. Everybody's getting fired up. It's like a whole new, it's like a whole new world out there. And you know, Travis, you've been out in the field now for probably over a month. And how's it going? Real, you know, just anything exciting right now?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into some stuff as we go through the podcast here, but it's been a busy couple of weeks already since I got out in the field. A lot of interaction with wildlife and the public, and I'll tell some of those specific stories later on here, but it's been going great, so can't complain.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to hear him. And you know, Joel obviously joining us here, and I think I haven't seen Joel or Kyle around for about 2 weeks. I think they've been like resting after you guys, you know, left and went to the field, and I think they're just trying to recoup. But you know, let's get right into it with Joel Gibble, who is the assistant director of training, and obviously the 32nd class that Travis is part of just graduated. But Joel, just a little bit of your personal history and you know, to the point where, you know, you go back and then bring it up to how you became a game warden with the Pennsylvania Game Commission.
Yeah, sure, Matt. Thanks for having me on here. And it's always fun to get together and talk a little bit about our agency, talk about a little bit of who we are and, you know, kind of what we offer out there in the state of Pennsylvania. So, yeah, as far as myself goes, you know, kind of I can't say that there's a standard mold for game wardens, but I have a background, grew up hunting, fishing, being outdoors, just loving outside activities, whether it's, again, hunting or just hiking. And so went through high school, lived here in Pennsylvania, got a degree in criminal justice, and did some time with the military, and then decided at some point in time I saw that our agency was hiring, and always being passionate about the outdoors, always enjoying, you know, being up here in Pennsylvania, I applied, and I was successful the first time I applied, which a lot of people are not. We have officers currently that have applied several times to become Pennsylvania game wardens, but I was successful my first time applying. So I worked up in the Schuylkill County area once I graduated from the training school, and not too far here from the Harrisburg area, but it feels like another world. It's very rural in certain areas, and there's a lot of wildlife up there. So I worked up there as a district game warden, which is a great job, probably the best job in the agency, is just being a district game warden. Worked up there for several years, and then an opportunity came here to work in the training division at Harrisburg. And I've always been passionate about helping people become better and more efficient and effective in their jobs. And so I took this promotion here to training, and I've been doing this job for a couple years now. And like you said, we just graduated our most recent cadet class, and we're actually looking forward to graduating or starting our next cadet class here in several weeks, which is something we can talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy. You know, obviously, you know, our Bureau of Marketing is pretty new here, and we're already seeing faces leave, retiring. And it's kind of sad, but, you know, I can tell you from my experience with the Game Commission, time flies because it's fun. But Travis, a little bit about yourself, a little history, and obviously, first of all, congratulations. Now that class is over and you're graduated, congratulations, and thank you for being a Pennsylvania game warden. But a little bit of your history and a reason that you wanted to become a game warden.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So to get to where I was today, I think I took a little bit of a roundabout journey. Like a lot of other game wardens, I grew up in rural part of Pennsylvania and spent a lot of time outdoors, hunting, fishing, just doing any outdoor recreation I could get my hands on. That's something that was really ingrained in me from early childhood. And my dad actually did a lot of hunting with me. And instead of, you know, just going out and shooting whatever animals we were after, he actually took the time to sit down and talk to me about why we were doing things that we were doing, when it came to a hunting perspective. He talked to me about wildlife management, about population management, about habitat management, and how all those things affect the wildlife population that we were hunting. And I think those lessons really stuck with me as I grew up. And maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, I always had that in the back of my mind. And I went through high school and I went to college and got a degree in international politics, which is usually not what most people would think a game warden would study in school. From there, I went into the military. And then after I got in the military, I did a bunch of odd jobs, corporate America and some other jobs that, you know, I just really didn't find a true passion in. So I started, you know, asking myself, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And what am I truly passionate about? And when I sat down and thought about it, it was those lessons that my dad taught me growing up that I learned from being in the outdoors that really came to the forefront. And that's what truly drove me to seek out a position like Pennsylvania Game Warden. And I actually had a friend that went through the academy with me and graduated with me here recently. And that was the one that primarily got me interested in the Pennsylvania Game Commission Game Warden. His roommate in college had gone through the process, and he was telling me about everything he was doing, and it just got really excited and sounded like something that I could do, you know, as a career for the rest of my life. So I applied and went through the whole application process and obviously went through the school and graduated to get to where I am today. And I couldn't be happier so far. The last couple of weeks have been a real whirlwind and kind of surreal experience, but it's amazing to be where I am right now as a game warden, and I'm looking forward to the rest of my career as a game warden as well.
Well, that's awesome, Travis. I've got to be honest. I'm sitting here right now, and honestly, that story kind of gave me chills because, you know, obviously with your background, you could have done anything you wanted to do. And what I can see personally when I sit here and look across the aisle at law enforcement or come over into the training school, I see that passion, and there's no doubt that you have it. And again, thank you for, you know, making that life choice and you know, coming to make being a Pennsylvania game warden your career, because we are dang sure glad to have you. But Joel, you know, taking off on that one, well, first of all, I need to ask you a little bit more personal question.
Go ahead.
So you said where you started in Schuylkill County. Can you tell a Schuylk anywhere in the country?
Well, I have to preface this saying I did not grow up in Schuylkill County. So I grew up just down the road from there. But yeah, living and working up in Schuylkill County like I have for the past number of years, you can definitely tell.
That's awesome. I've heard somebody say that about an airplane one time. They were flying home. They're like, "You're a Schuylk." And I'm like, "How do you know?" And I'm pretty good about accents. I haven't got that one yet. I'm going to need some lessons on that. But, you know, a lot of folks that listen, a lot of folks that are out there, you know, don't understand 100% what a game warden is. And sometimes I think, you know, I always like to just be straight. You know, what is a game warden here in Pennsylvania? What is a Pennsylvania game warden?
Sure. So as far as kind of backing out just a little bit more broad scale, all of the 50 states have some sort of conservation law enforcement, whether they're called game wardens, conservation officers, whether they're called natural resource police, whatever the case may be. Every state has their version of what a game warden is. As far as the state of Pennsylvania goes, we've been called wardens before. We've been called conservation officers, and we're back to the warden name, which is how most people commonly know Pennsylvania game wardens. They know us as game wardens, right? And so what we do is our primary job is conservation law enforcement. Now, the Pennsylvania Game Commission is a big agency that has a variety of employees that do a variety of things. And believe it or not, game wardens are actually the minority as far as number of employees in the agency. We are not the majority of what the Game Commission does. We have more employees that do habitat and biology, administrative things, as well as all the things that just take to make our agency run. As far as the law enforcement side of it, that's what game wardens do on a daily basis. So our primary jurisdiction is birds and mammals out there in the state of Pennsylvania. We have a lot of other jurisdictions too. We can enforce the laws related to fish and parks, and as well some of the federal regulations when it comes to migratory and things. So our jurisdiction is fairly broad, but we try to stick with the animals. And the reason is we are the only people in the state that have that level of jurisdiction. So our primary interest is in that. And obviously the hunting and recreation that comes with that, as well as our property. We have over, you know, 1.5 million acres of Pennsylvania state game lands. There's millions and millions of acres of other public land, state land, as well as our cooperative access properties. So properties that sign up because they want to have recreational hunting on their property as well. So primarily we do the conservation law enforcement piece. Again, whether it's hunting season or not, believe it or not, there's always something going on with wildlife regarding law enforcement. Now, outside of the law enforcement side of the house, we do a lot with wildlife conflicts. So as the East Coast seems to get more and more built up in certain areas and more of an urban sprawl in certain areas, as people build houses in areas that traditionally has not been houses in, there's a lot of wildlife conflicts. And so whether it's problems with deer eating bushes, whether it's bears taking over beehives, whether it's woodpeckers burrowing into your nice log house, there's all kinds of conflicts that come. And so game wardens are out there on a daily basis helping people with their wildlife conflicts, helping them with wildlife concerns that they might have. There's a lot of people that are always asking for tips and suggestions on how to interact with nature in a more, cohesive, but just kind of cohabitate in a better way that we're not creating conflicts, you know, willingly. So we do a lot with that, wildlife stuff, conflicts, but then as well, a ton on the education front. We're out there on a daily basis wearing the uniform, driving the trucks, and people see us. And so whether it's hunter education, whether it's school programs, whether it's, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts programs, whether it's I've gone to retirement homes before to give programs. You know, so a variety of different educational things that we do, because we do regulate, our agency does regulate hunting. So there is a huge component of education that comes with it. And we establish relationships. You know, we often are the point of contact that the agency has with certain landowners or whatnot, because we establish rapport with people. And whether it's a land management project that we're initiating or whether it's a burn on a piece of property, we're out there as the public face of the Pennsylvania Game Commission. So a variety of things. It's such a broad job that, you know, centralizes around conservation law enforcement, but there's so many different ways that you can spin off of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, myself, 50 years old, grew up in Pennsylvania, the face of the Game Commission are game wardens. I mean, that's what the first thing you think of when you think of the Pennsylvania Game Commission, and y'all do such a great job of outreach for the agency and explaining the so many facets that happen behind these walls. And obviously, you know, we talk about enforcement. You know, a lot of folks don't realize that when you said birds and mammals, it's not just deer, turkeys, and bear and things that we think of as hunters. It's the 400-plus species that we have in this state that we have to manage and regulate for future generations. And it's so important. And you know, my best advice is, you know, I was joking around a little bit earlier, but my best advice is the better you can have your relationship with your local game warden, the better that your experiences can be out there, and because there are a bunch of great folks out, you know, and they care about, especially hunters, they care about what we're doing out there. You know, obviously laws are there for, and, you know, regulations are there for a reason, and that's to ensure the future of wildlife conservation and to also ensure the future of hunting and trapping. I mean, that's our mission. That's our mission statement. But, you know, obviously we're in a time right now where lots of positions are open in the game warden field in Pennsylvania in law enforcement, folks retiring, you know, different things are happening. If you had some recommendations right now, as we speak, to anybody that might want to be a game warden, could you give us those?
Oh yeah, certainly. And I'm happy to get to that point as far as talking about what we're excited to offer here shortly. And actually currently we are opening the application process, and it is currently open for individuals interested in being Pennsylvania game wardens. So if that fits you, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, you know what, that's something I've always wanted to do, and this is, you know, my opinion and perspective of it from being both in the field as well as now being in the training capacity and seeing a lot of wardens come through our training school. Generally, people come from, We have law enforcement, we have military background, and then we have an educational background. So there's a variety of requirements to come in. And so currently you have to fit certain level-based qualifications. And so we're getting a lot of that interest where people, because you have to be 21 again, people have done things outside of, you know, post-high school, whether it's, you know, military, law enforcement, whether it's college, to set themselves apart from their peers. But then beyond that, and just the baseline qualifications that you have to meet, which are on our website, someone who's genuinely interested in the outdoors, because the passion has to be there. There's a lot of different law enforcement jobs out there, and they all have their different special areas of interest, and ours happens to be the outdoors and conservation. So you have to be passionate about it. Like Travis just said, and like I said in my intro, you have to want to work with wildlife and in the outdoors. And, you know, for guys like us, Matt, you know, that comes, we're practically born that way, right? We just feel like the outdoors is our passion. But I meet some people sometimes and they're just not comfortable being outside. They're not comfortable working by themselves. They're not comfortable being in the woods when it's dark outside. And if you don't want to be in the middle of nowhere by yourself, being a game warden is probably not the best fit for you. However, if you are comfortable working independently, working in the woods, working strange hours, we have a great deal of flexibility with setting our own schedules. And so we get to prioritize when we need to be places where we need to be. And frequently I find myself in different parts of the state in just odd hours just because of the nature of the job. You have to be comfortable thinking on your feet, making your own decisions. And a lot of people that have had jobs before and have bosses before, they'll like this part, right? You have to be comfortable being independent and not checking in at the office every single day, because we don't. We work independently. We work remotely. We have a home office. The truck stays at your house. And so you begin and end your shift every day generally at your house. And maybe on a biweekly or monthly basis, you might see your boss, if that. So you have to be very comfortable on your own 2 feet as a responsible adult, as a law enforcement officer. And so it's a very interesting job that there's not a lot of similar occupations out there that have the law enforcement side, the independence, as well as the education, as well as the outreach. It's just, it's an interesting person that applies. We have people that do come from, like Travis said, corporate backgrounds. We have people that come from a very professional backgrounds. We have people that from the age of 12, from Hunter Ed, they wanted to become a game warden. We have a variety of applicants that we see that are successful. So I'm not going to say that there's always one type of person that always makes it all the way through to the application and then to the graduation. It's a variety of people from a variety of backgrounds.
And when you think about, when you say career or job, and I think about this a lot in my career, both private sector and where I'm at now, when you wake up every day and you go to your job with air quotes and you don't feel like it's work, it's pretty rewarding. And I would imagine that's how you feel, Joel, as you know, it's your career. I'm sure every job has ups and downs and, you know, you get sideways, but like when your passion is in it, cause I talk to so many folks across this country that they hate their job, but they have to, you know, you have to obviously make a living to survive, but working for the Game Commission in many capacities isn't really a job. It's absolutely a lifestyle. And like you said, even over in our bureau, you know, we're really looking for those folks that have that passion for the outdoors, because it shows in anything you do. If you want to work in the sports industry and you love baseball, when you get a job somewhere, whether it's majors, minors, or in college baseball, and you love it, what you do, and that's your passion, it shows. I mean, it's 100%. But one thing I did want to say too, and I hear this a lot from, we get out in the field quite a bit from current game wardens, is like they might not have made the class or you know, made the grade the first time they took the test or the first time that they interviewed. I guess a recommendation is don't give up, right?
Certainly, yeah. It's very competitive hiring process, and just the way things work. I mean, there's testing involved. There's standards that we have. There's interviews. There's background investigations. And just because you weren't selected the first time does not necessarily mean that you're ineligible, right? It might just be a certain thing that you were very close and you were just on the wrong side of it when we had to make cutoffs, because it is a fairly extensive hiring process. And there's at every phase, you know, people come off the list as we get, you know, closer to finalizing our picks. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not the type of person we're looking for. It's just there was more people ahead of you that time. And so, like I said, I was successful my first time, but I had people in my academy class, and I see it every academy class we have here, that there's people that are in their second, a third, and I think we might have even had one who was in his fourth.
Wow.
He just knew he wanted the job so badly that he was willing to keep reapplying. And actually, the beneficial thing we've got recently is we've done academy classes more frequently, and so we've had those people that have been able to apply and reapply and kind of get better at it. And we've seen some people be successful here with this most graduation class that just graduated a couple weeks ago.
That's awesome. And like Travis said earlier, you know, his buddy talked him into it. And,
sure.
You know, having that passion. And Travis, I'm coming back to you. And, you know, if you would, tell us about like the first day and the first couple weeks that you got to Harrisburg. Was there any big eye-openers for you? Obviously, you had a lot of experience, you know, in your career previous to come into the game commission, but anything that really stands out?
Well, at this point, I can't say there's anything that doesn't stand out. It probably seems like an eternity ago for everybody with everything that's been going on for the last year. But the week that we started the academy, it was in March of 2020, it actually almost coincided perfectly to the day with the lockdown and with the COVID pandemic in the United States. So that's when stuff started to get real in the United States as far as the pandemic went. So that first week, first couple of weeks was actually a huge eye-opener in general, just because there was so much that we had to adapt to and so much that the actual training school and the training school staff had to adapt to in order to keep this class going and make sure that we were successful. And what that entailed was, you know, we showed up the first day fully expecting the traditional game warden experience at the school, where you go and you live there full time and you're 100% in the school, you're 100% on their schedule doing what you want to do to learn how to become a game warden. And what we ended up doing was getting there the first day, we got yelled at a bit, got some equipment issued to us, and then got sent home because there were restrictions in place that didn't allow us to gather. You know, at the time, with COVID being new, we didn't know what was happening. The training school didn't know what was happening. And, you know, 27 people went back to their homes across the state. And we actually spent the next 6 weeks in a virtual environment learning online, which, you know, as a game warden, you know, we've talked about extensively up to this point, your whole goal is to work in the outdoors. Your whole goal is to get hands-on with wildlife, with anything outdoor-related. And we had, you know, the opportunity to learn virtually, which unfortunately didn't allow us to do a lot of the hands-on stuff those first couple of weeks. So it was a real test of will and a real test of your mental toughness and persistence to want to be in this profession. Thing is, you know, we're sitting behind a computer 8 hours a day for those first 6 weeks before we got back to school. So I think that the real eye-opener there was really the fact that from day one, we were being shown what the job of a game warden entailed, in the sense that a lot of being a game warden requires you to adapt to changing situations. Every single day, you're given calls, you're given scenarios, situations that's completely different from the day before and any other day, probably in the rest of your career. And you have to adapt to each situation, you know, figure out what's going on, make a plan, find a solution, and then make it happen. That's exactly what we did, you know, starting from day one. Like I said, we adapted, we overcame our situation, we were successful in it as a class, and then we eventually found ourselves back at the academy once, you know, some of the COVID restrictions were modified and allowed us to go back to the academy. So, like I said, the first few weeks was just a whole eye-opener in itself, but, you know, it's something that taught us what we were going to be doing for the rest of our careers.
Yeah, your class, the 32nd class, Travis, and obviously the year, you're going to have asterisks. You're going to, you know, we'll never forget this the rest of our lives, and hopefully this is the last time that we have these kind of situations, because you hit it spot on, too, and, you know, everybody's had to adapt, and I take my hat off to your class. I take my hat off to Joel and Kyle and everybody that was involved that adapted so fast to make sure that you didn't lose any ground, and it was cool. And I said this to Kyle and Hannah, you know, I've never been here, our whole team in marketing, we haven't got a chance to witness a graduation ceremony, and it was emotional for me to watch that. I mean, I had to hold some tears back. I got goosebumps a bunch of times. It was really, really cool. And, you know, when as we're building our bureau in marketing, it's going to be one of our onboarding processes that, you know, the cool thing this year, it was caught live and it's running on YouTube. And we're going to have them sit down and watch that graduation, because that's what the Game Commission is really, truly all about. And y'all knocked it out of the park on graduation, I promise you.
Yeah, I mean, the graduation was very unique in itself, too, because we still had restrictions, and it actually almost made it more personal, having, you know, only close family, friends, whatever, man, we were limited to a certain amount of people. It made it almost more personal and more meaningful for us, you know, sharing that experience with just a couple of people. But then, like you said, your division was able to broadcast that to the public, which is awesome to see, because now people can see, you know, what we've been through and the point that we've gotten to. And you said you were emotional. I think everybody there, especially all the wardens graduating, were were more than emotional as well. And it was at that point, you know, since the application date, a 2-year long period to get there. So definitely a very memorable and life-changing event there.
I got to have you stop talking. You give me goosebumps every time you talk. And but that's, again, that's because the passion shines through. And you know, I encourage anybody out there to take a look. It's on our YouTube page, and you know, we'll get the link up there if anybody wants to see it. It's worth a little bit over an hour to see what happened to your class, you know, and you know, obviously, like you said, the adversities that you had to face this year, and y'all did awesome from top to bottom. Everybody just, you know, really kicked COVID's butt, if you will. But Joel, you know, speaking about your role a little bit, and do you have any personal favorite things that of your role here at the Game Commission?
Yeah, there's a whole list of things, especially as my role as an instructor now. And I enjoy working with new wardens, experienced wardens, and just helping everybody be more successful, like I said already. But with this academy class that Travis was a part of, it was really interesting and neat to see from start to finish, because I've been involved with training before, but this is the first time I got to see the complete package. So like we were talking about, from day one and kicking them out to do 6 weeks of remote and then bringing them back and doing the training and then graduating them, it was really fun to see that whole process work and see people that came in that were uncomfortable, whether it's with firearms or driving trucks or public speaking or instruction, you know, on their own, to the point where they're very professional, very polished, and I think they're going to be extremely successful. So that was great. I enjoy it. I feel like, as far as for me, because we all like to see results, I get to see results very quickly because people come in fairly unfamiliar with what a game warden is, and then by the time they graduate, they can go do the job by themselves. I'm not saying they don't need a continuing education post-graduation, but they're ready to do the job, like Travis is right now. I mean, the day he graduated, he went back home, and the following week he started. And so that's very gratifying for me to see as an instructor, is how quick those results are actually felt in the field and getting those guys graduated. As far as my career goes, looking back on some of the things I've done as a district game warden myself, just those hands-on experiences I've had with wildlife, whether it's something unique, whether it's, you know, an abnormally large bear, you know, or whether it's helping someone with a wildlife conflict. One of the things that always comes to mind, because it's something that we do that not everyone knows about, is search and rescue component. I've been able to help find lost individuals, recover individuals that unfortunately were deceased, but bring closure to the family. Just some of those more significant things that I've been able to do are very gratifying, and I enjoy that part of the job. And it's just the variety of things. Again, I enjoy pulling the bat out of someone's house as much as I do, taking care of a conflict bearer as much as I do, you know, training. There's just so many different things about the job that I enjoy.
Travis, when you, earlier you said that, you know, you all came to class, you got here, got yelled at a little bit. Was the gentleman sitting here with me one of those guys that was yelling?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I've heard rumor that Joel Gibble eats pepper spray for breakfast, and I got to confirm that.
I will confirm that. I've seen it firsthand. Not something that I'm willing to do. So,
well, that's awesome. But, you know, Travis, you know, now that you graduated, you've been in the field, you know, a month or a little bit over. Any highlights from the first couple weeks out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been about 3 weeks in the field now. And as Joel mentioned earlier, you know, from day one, I hit the ground running. There's just so much going on in my district when I got here. And, you know, it's been 3 weeks of constant learning. You spend a year at the academy and you learn an inordinate amount of information, more information than you think is possible is put in your mind. And even after that year, I'm constantly learning every single day. And I guarantee I'll be constantly learning every day until I end this career. Because there's just so much to learn, so much to do, and things are constantly changing. It's, you know, as far as education goes, I was actually educated personally by a member of the public within the first couple of weeks here. I actually got a call for an injured hawk. And as I was driving to this call, a local falconer, a master falconer in my district, happened to drive by this hawk and see it and, you know, picked it up and took care of it and actually called our dispatch and said, hey, I know the warden Somebody called about this hawk. The warden's coming to get it. I have it at my house. I'll take care of it until he gets here. So right off the bat, you know, I spoke to this woman on the phone, and just a super nice person that was just willing to help. She had a passion for wildlife because she had been dealing with predator birds for, you know, her whole life, basically, as a master falconer. That's no easy feat to get to. It takes a lot of time, knowledge, and experience. And she had an incredible passion for that. She felt comfortable enough as a member of the public to work with the HC to call us and tell us, you know, I'm going to help you with this. And that was awesome to see. And when I got to the house, she had it wrapped up in a special cloth, so its talons were restricted, but it was, you know, comfortable for the hawk. She showed me what the injury to the hawk was, explained a lot about, you know, what is going on with the anatomy of it. Because, you know, we learn about all these different species of animals in school, but we learn pretty much at surface level, and then it's our job when we get to our district to learn a deeper, more, you know, a better understanding of the anatomy or whatever animal that we're dealing with. Because in a year, you can't teach everybody everything. So this woman was willing to, you know, show me the injury, show me the anatomy, tell me what she thought was wrong with it, what its chances of surviving were. And I worked with her, and I worked with another local officer, and we decided that it had to go to a rehabilitator, and she actually brought it to the rehabilitator for me, because it was about an hour away from where I was at, and she was willing to bring it there for me because she knew that person, and she knew that it was going to get good care there, and she wanted to help out not only the wildlife, but the agency itself. So that whole experience just blew me away, seeing, you know, everything that I learned up to that point coming together, you know, the interaction with the public, having a good relationship with the public, you know, dealing with wildlife. I got to see a red-tailed hawk close up, get hands-on with it, you know, have that experience that, you know, people in outside of our profession most likely are never going to have in their life. So it was a culmination of all those different things, and during that experience that just blew me away and made me so appreciative to even be in this job right now.
That's awesome, Travis, and that's a great story. Just, you know, one of the many that you're going to have through your career that are just, you know, and I, you know, from us, you know, the whole marketing bureau, we learn stuff every day. We kick up new rocks, and it's pretty awesome everything that happens at the PGC. But this one's going to come off the record a little bit, because we spoke with Hannah and Kyle a couple weeks ago, and one of the neatest things that happened, Hannah had a little constructive criticism for Kyle. She said that he sipped his coffee too loud in the morning, and everybody heard it, and he laughed and didn't realize. You got anything maybe constructive now that you're graduated and you're out there in the field to give to Joel?
Constructive criticism, huh?
Yep.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Joel is a big runner. I have heard stories, myths almost, that he can run more miles than I think I've ever run in my life in one sitting. He can run that. So he's big on running, big on cardio a lot of times with our PT sessions in the school. So I think constructive criticism, maybe we'll stop doing half marathons every week and maybe start doing some weightlifting, see if we can build up the big muscles and you know, show everybody how strong we are that way too. Maybe a fine balance between cardio and muscular strength.
Well,
you don't get to answer that one.
Oh, I want to offer a little commentary. I'll take that under advisement, although I constantly tell the cadets, and if anyone's interested in applying, just something to remember, your level of motivation will directly reflect on how many miles we run. So I don't know if that says anything about Travis and his classmates, or if that's, I don't know.
I hear that comment in my head every time I go to sleep. Your level of motivation determines how many miles we run, and then I never run any miles when I wake up.
Yeah, I feel like that. Believe it or not, I feel like that most days myself, Travis.
How far? Now you got me. I'm a little bit inquisitive, Joel. Like, what's the farthest that you ran in, like, a day's time?
In a day's time? Or,
have you done marathons?
Informally? I don't do a lot of races. I just run for myself. So
I got you.
It depends. I mean, sometimes I will. I'll jump up on the Blue Mountain and I'll just go. And then I'll get a phone call from my wife asking me when I'm coming home for dinner because I've been gone for a while longer than she expected because I was enjoying the run.
Like Forrest Gump kind of run? Like,
Sure.
I got you. Sure. No, that's awesome. That's, hey, Travis, that's exactly what we wanted. And, you know, it's just, it's always good to shed a little light and know that everybody has fun. We all put our pants on the same way, and we're just down here for borrowed time and the passion that we all share for wildlife. But I'm going to come back to you on this one, Travis, too, is, you know, as you, obviously getting through school, 2-year process, now you're state game warden. Do you have any vision, personal vision, of where you think the agency, the PGC, is headed to in the future? Obviously, we're in challenging times, and sometimes that vision's important, especially for someone that's, you know, brand new, you know, first couple of weeks really truly out there in the field. So if you have any light to shed on that, we'd love to hear it.
Sure. I'm in a very unique opportunity or position right now where I've just gotten out of school. Everything that I've seen in the school, everything I've learned in school is fresh in my mind. And everything that I've learned about how the agency operates is fresh in my mind. And from that perspective, I think there's two different facets to this question. And one's where the agency is going as far as its employees are concerned, and the other is as far as the public is concerned. And to address that first one there, you know, coming out of school, like I said, we were able to be taught by, I think it was over 100 different instructors throughout the year that we were in the school. And what I saw in that year's time was that the agency, specifically from a game warden law enforcement standpoint, has so many different opportunities available for its employees. And I'm sure this is true, you know, outside of law enforcement realm, but, you know, specifically for law enforcement, there are a vast number of opportunities that you can move your career towards. If you want to be a district game warden for 20 years, you can do that. You have the opportunity to do that. If you want to move to, and a lot of publicity has been put on our canine officers in the last year or so, that's another opportunity. You can be a special investigator and work with the canines. We have a tracking team that has been developed fairly recently in the last couple of years and has done outstanding things. They've been able to work on cases that have gone, you know, nationally public in the news, and help out with these high profile cases. And then anything in between. But whatever you want your career to be as a game warden, you can do that. The opportunity is there in the agency, and I'm sure that's only going to grow in the future. And then, you know, outside of law enforcement within the agency, we have, like I said, your marketing division has grown exponentially in the last couple of years. And the fact that the agency is putting an emphasis on outreach to the public through marketing is a huge deal. That's something that we really haven't done a whole lot in the last, you know, however many decades. And people aren't used to that. And now they're starting to get used to that, starting to get used to interacting with the agency from a public standpoint on social media, out in the field with boards, with other employees like biologists that are conducting research out in the field. And I think that's driving us to look at the public realm and say, okay, what can we do as an agency to benefit the public? In the last decade or so, we've seen in the, not only in our state, but in the country, a drastic decline in the amount of hunters, trappers that we have out there. And, you know, license sales are going down and people participating in these activities is going down. And I think that's incredibly unfortunate because it's such a, you know, time-bound tradition, especially within our state, that means a lot to a lot of people. And I think the agency is really taking a standpoint to try to make it more known that we're doing everything we can to benefit the public, to introduce more people to the hunting and trapping tradition, especially youth. You see so many programs out there that encourage youth to start hunting, such as the mentor program. And it's not even limited to youth, that's adults as well. If you've never hunted, you can get in the mentor program and start hunting, trapping under the tutelage of a mentor that's experienced at that. So programs like that, and then looking at our regulations as far as hunting and trapping go, and tweaking them to see what benefits the public, such as last year we had our first Sunday hunting opportunities, which were incredibly successful from what I understand. I was actually out in the field last year during those Sunday hunting opportunities, and the people I talked to in the field were just incredibly grateful to have the opportunity to have those extra couple of days per year to be able to go out and hunt, and it's awesome to see. So that's really what I see the agency doing is they're adapting, like I talked about earlier, to a changing environment or changing, you know, political environment as well, and really trying to make it better known that we're doing everything we can to serve the public in Pennsylvania as far as hunting and trapping goes, so that we can have that tradition for current and future generations.
Dang, I feel like I got to write you a check for that endorsement. That was awesome. That's exactly right. But in next time you're in Harrisburg, we'll have to go to lunch or something, because that's how we feel, exactly how you ended that. And again, I'm getting goosebumps, but you know, that's where we want the future to be. We're proud of our state, our heritage. I mean, pretty much every family that has Pennsylvania roots, hunting is a subject topic that comes up at family gatherings all over the state and all over the country. I used to work in an industry where I would travel everywhere. I could be in Los Angeles talking about turkey hunting, and when you say you're from Pennsylvania, I mean, it's like the holy grail to hunters. And when you look at our state, I say this a lot, like, we have Cabela's that sits in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, is the number one brick and mortar retail hunting and outdoor fishing store in the country. It sits right in the middle of our state. And we do have that, and we do got to continue that, because hunting is a privilege, but hunting's one of the biggest conservation tools to ensure the health of wildlife for, like you said, for future generations. So, I mean, that was awesome, Travis. And to hear somebody that's first full-time day on the job was only a month ago, to have that, our agency's in great hands, I can tell you that right now. But, in closing this out, I kind of get both of you to weigh in on this, and I'll start with Joel. Again, we're in the middle of a process now, recruiting more new game wardens to the agency, and it's going to continue, because we're going to be in the need for quite a while, it looks like. So if you can just hit on that again, if anybody has some interest or knows somebody, to, some encouraging words, if you would.
Yes, certainly. We are currently in the process of, just a couple weeks from now, starting our next class. But then concurrent with that, we're also currently open for new applications. So we've done a lot of social media outreach, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or stuff even on YouTube in the past year with this last class. Expect to see more of that with this current class that's going on. And then those of you that are interested in coming on board with us, the application process is open right now. So like I said, you have to meet those baseline qualifications, and all that information's on our website. There's going to be some more things that you're going to see, obviously, on social media. But go to our website. That's the single point to go to. And then there's a link on there. You can get to the state website. You can apply for the job, put your name in. Just like anything else, you have to apply in order to become a game warden. So don't wait, because the process will be open until sometime in April at this point. However, the sooner you get your name in, the better. Start that process. Look at what it entails. It's going to take a while, like Travis said. We're very thorough. We do work in law enforcement, so the background investigations and all the interviews, physical, medical, psychological testing, it's all very thorough, because it has to be. We put a lot of faith and confidence and trust in our officers, and as game wardens, we take that seriously. So we are very thorough in the process, and then as Travis talked about in a lot, the academy process, it's not easy, but it's not supposed to be easy, because the realities of being a game warden, as fun as it is, there are days when it's tough. And so the academy is going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge. It's certainly doable. If you're motivated, if you're a self-starter, if you're the type of person that enjoys being a little bit uncomfortable, you'll do just fine. And then, life as a game warden, as Travis said, and as he's finding out on a daily basis, it's awesome. It's a job, it's a career, it's a lifestyle, all rolled into one. But application process is open currently. So put your name in the hat. Set yourself apart from your peers. If you're not eligible for whatever reason and you want to work towards it, whether it's educationally with military or with law enforcement or simply just getting a little bit older. I get a lot of high schoolers that talk to me and they're interested in it, but they're not quite eligible. So set yourself up for success in the future. We have, like I said, a class going on here shortly. We have this class that we're currently open the application process for, but we're going to need more game wardens on a regular basis. So just stay interested, stay engaged with, again, all our social media, all our marketing outlets, and then we have regional offices. So if you're curious and you want to talk face to face to somebody, just go to one of the six regional offices or the Harrisburg headquarters, and I guarantee you there'll be someone there that'll be able to talk to you in person. If you have some more specific questions, you can call us up as well.
That's great advice, Joel. And before Travis, I'm going to get you to say something. I just want to, we talk about social media and where we're at today with digital, but, we are going to start a TikTok at the Pennsylvania Game Commission, and we will expect Joel, you and Kyle to come up with the game warden dance that we can get out there and how fun it is when we get over to TikTok. But we'll cross that bridge when it happens. But Travis, if you would just take us out of here with any advice you have to anybody that's looking, you know, to either, you know, try to get into the class, the next class coming up, or even down the road.
Sure. Before I do that, I would like a personal email as soon as that dance comes out with Kyle and Joel. I need to see that immediately.
I just wrote that down.
Okay, thank you. But on a serious note, Joel actually hit on this earlier, and I just kind of want to reiterate some of the points that he was making. The last class made out of 27 individuals that came from every single background, life experience that you could imagine. And none of them were a, you know, cookie cutter, perfect mold for what the agency was looking for as a game board. The application has some very specific criteria you need to meet in order to even, you know, be eligible, but there's no perfect person for this job. You can have, and I kind of hit on this a little bit with my background, you can have a degree in international politics like I do, work in corporate America right before this job, and still make it into here. As long as you have that passion and motivation that Joel was talking about earlier for wildlife, for the outdoors, you can make it through this. I personally, I'll tell you this, I almost talked myself out of the application. Even after talking to my buddy that was the one that, you know, originally convinced me to even look at it. I read through the application. I said, oh, you know, I'm not a wildlife biologist expert. I'm not a habitat expert. You know, I've hunted, but I didn't hunt everything. I don't trap, but maybe this isn't, you know, maybe I'm not qualified enough. I almost talked myself out of the application, but then I thought, well, I either apply and I don't get it and I can try again, or I don't apply and I guarantee not to get it. So why not apply and see if you make it through? If you have that passion, that motivation, there's a good chance you can. If you meet those basic prerequisites for the application and you have the passion and motivation, there's a good chance you'll make it through. So don't think that you have to be, you know, an expert at this field or an expert at that field. Go for the application, see what it's about. If you don't make it through, good. Now you know exactly what to do next time when you apply to make it through. Like Joel said, you can apply more than one time. So I think, you know, for everybody out there, if this is something that you truly think you want to do, go for the application. Don't let anything hold you back, because you could be sitting where I am right now as a new state game warden. My life has changed because this is a career that I've dreamt of for years and years and years, and now I'm doing it for real. So take the chance. You never know what can happen.
That's great stuff. And gentlemen, Joel and Travis, thank you for coming on today. Joel, just take us out of here again. The application, or the time frame.
Sure. Yeah, the application window is open currently. Go to our website and put your application in. The links are all there. All the information about requirements are there, and the application process is live, like I said, now through sometime in April. Kind of depends, though. Sometimes we've had different lengths of applications based on how many people put in. So, like I said, don't wait. Put in immediately if you're interested, get that information filled out, and it'll start the process. But step one, put your application in.
Absolutely. And again, Joel and Travis, thanks for joining us. Travis, you know, a special thanks for not talking yourself out of putting in that application, because the agency is proud to have you out there. But I'm sure we'll be talking again down the road. We'll probably check in again, Travis, at some point, and maybe revisit this next year after, you know, your first year as a state game warden. But again, thank you. Enjoy this beautiful weather out there. And again, you know, we're all working for the same cause, and folks out there that are listening, you know, get out there. And if you don't know your local game warden, get in touch with them, meet them, him or her, start a relationship, because we're all in this together. And the number one thing is wildlife in the future and hunting and trapping. But thanks again, gentlemen. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate it, Matt.
On behalf of the Pennsylvania Game Commission, thank you for tuning in. And we hope that every day of field is filled with memories to last a lifetime. We are committed to leave conservation and wildlife better for the future. And we hope you can tune in next time to the PGC's Call of the Outdoors.